Wondery's new podcast, Dis and Tell, wades into the glorious mess of celebrity beef. Each episode explores a different iconic celebrity feud and asks, what does our obsession with these feuds say about us? Follow Dis and Tell wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on your brows. I'm Ronnie. Hi, everybody. Welcome. I'm here with little Benuni Bondalooney of the Looney Toonie. Hi, Ben. How are you, hon?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks. How are you doing?
Good. What's going on with you today?
You know, nothing. Literally nothing. Just, you know, woke up, watched some Beverly Hills this morning, and I'm just like ready to embrace life with, I think I would have to say, my standard sized esophagus.
And if it's not, you're lying about it. I'm having a really good day. We've been having a freeze here in Austin, so my pipes froze and I was not able to shower anything for a couple days. Not that that's a huge thing. I mean, I do live alone. I'm single. Okay. And the only other person here is a dog and he smells. But it was really nice to shave and shower. So hi, everybody. And then today I went to Home Goods because I was all clean. And I just bopped through that Home Goods like, hi, I'm back. That's hi, so everybody. Nice. Hi, did you miss me? Great. Oh my God, is this new? When did you guys get this in? So I take it the delivery trucks were frozen, like my pipes. That was something, wasn't it, Jeffrey? Just people are like, oh my God, who is this crazy person? Get out of here.
Meanwhile, the Home Goods employees are just behind your house pouring ice cubes on your pipes, like, freeze them up again. Freeze them up.
Keep them home. We don't need to be complimented on the stock because I'm one of those people who's like, oh my God, you know what? I really loved that couch back there. That was great. Like they have anything to do with it. You know,
they're just American Idol. Get like coming like Simon Cowell.
This American Idol is the best IDLE stock
you've ever had. Yeah.
Well, today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day. Huge day, which is why we're going to talk about Home Goods for half of it. Just kidding. It wasn't really, a huge day. But not kidding, we are going to talk about Home Goods for most of it. Guess what is a big day? February 17th, because that's when we have the Golden Crappy Awards. That's our yearly award show for all things Bravo. You never know who's going to show up. So go get your tickets over at watchwhatcrappens.com. We have voting starting this week at some point, or Monday. I don't know.
Monday.
So go check out our Instagram. At Watch What Crappens, guys. That's our Instagram, okay? And you can vote. We're going to take a bunch of nominations that you guys helped us put together, and then we are going to pare them down with voting. So go check that out. Also, our bonus episode was putting those nominations together. That's just us brainstorming. It was a two-parter last week. Go check that out. And we did a Traitors recap, and we're also going to recap it this coming week. So watch Traitors if you're not watching that on Peacock. What a great show. What
a show. Oh, my God, amazing. An amazing show. Like one of the best reality shows to come out in the past 10 years.
Sure is. Okay, so now let's get to
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I know. Our big homeless, not toothless episode. Very exciting. One of the most important causes out there. Not gonna put a roof over your head, but we will put a bridge in your mouth. You know? So it's back. It's back for a second go at it, and this time with Taylor Dane. So we start. It's the day after Kyle.
I'm sorry. Did you say Taylor Dane, or did you say the greatest voice living?
Are you fucking kidding? Did Celine Dion just beat the shit out of the TV when that was said? I mean, really? Taylor Dane, listen, no offense to Taylor Dane. Who doesn't like Taylor Dane? I think everybody does. I don't think she's really done anything wrong to anybody except not be Celine Dion. How dare you? And also, there's, you know, Adele's waiting in the wings. Like, you know, I'm younger, but I've still got it, bitch. So just needed to calm everybody down there.
You just wanted to remind everyone, like, the full context of our strong singers out there. But, I mean, of course, Erica loves Taylor Dane because they're sort of in that same, like, Like, Taylor Dane is just, like, a little bit more polished. Like, you know, Erica.
A little bit.
And Taylor is more like, tell it to my heart. Tell me I'm the only one. You know, so she's sort of like the Erica voice sort of, like, fleshed out and, like, hitting the notes, you know?
I wouldn't say that she was hitting the notes. And also, I wouldn't say that that Erica's anywhere close to Taylor Dane. I don't know if you're trying to start a fight today.
I'm trying to yes and you, and considering you just like, you were like, oh, Taylor Dane, I was like trying to meet you where you were, because I was perfect. I was actually very excited that Taylor Dane was there. I was like, this is great. And when Erica was like one of the strongest voices that we've known, I was like, yes. And then you're like, how dare she? I was like, okay, well, let me support Ronnie here. And now I support you, and you're like, how dare you equate Erica Jane to Taylor Dane?
But I guess seriously, okay. You're going to say that Erica and Taylor are similar singer? I mean, Erica, this is how Taylor Dane sings.
Tell it to my heart, tell it to my...
Okay, this is how Erica Jane sings. Erica Jane sings like when you're at the doctor and they're trying to look at your throat and they put a tongue depressor on your tongue and hold it down and then
yeah, but
until like, you go.
But Taylor Dane sort of does the same thing, except she does it in a way that sounds really good. Like, if you're like, tell it to my heart. Like, I mean, her voice is not like, her voice is like, got like, definitely has some tongue depressor in it, but like tongue depressor in a way that like makes it sound like it like really opens it up.
Hmm. Okay. So, I don't know what to add to that really. I just, now I have Erica and Taylor Dane singing in my head, and honestly, it hurts. So I'm gonna move past this part. So it's Sutton is doing Pilates in her bedroom, and wow, she really, these assistants must hate her ass. Obviously, like on a beach somewhere, like he doesn't care. Mm-hmm. He's like the end of one of those movies where it seems like Lara Flynn Boyle is all sweet and innocent, but then it turns out she was the big villain mastermind the whole time, and she's taken the guy's money and ended up on the beach. That's what Avi's like today in this episode. He's like, hey, bitch.
Yeah. And Sutton's just there doing her Pilates, and she's like, Avi, you've been gone too long. This was not approved. I'm dying. And he's just watching her. He goes, well, no wonder you're schwitzing. The fireplace is on behind you, bitch. She's like, well, that's what I do. This is my hot Pilates, Avi.
And the other assistant, who is now standing in, having to stand there perfectly still and FaceTime her for her because, you know, she's Sutton, so she's not going to do that shit by herself. I think he hates her. I think he wants her dead. That did not look like a happy assistant. I'm just going to put that out there.
No, I don't think that being Sutton's assistant is an easy job. I think that is a future tell-all, you know? Like, that's definitely going to be there.
I'm going to do Pilates, and you're going to stand there and film me. For all of you, who's like you, but better. Okay? Let's try that. Let's do that. Hold on. It's nothing. All right, tell everybody you saw me almost choke on the air. That was hard. So then we go over to Erica in a dance studio, which is called Evolution, which is super weird because this is Bravo. People don't evolve. Also, that's the name of the production company that produces this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is, right?
Maybe she's just dancing at the... at the production studio.
She's in the break room at Evolution.
I know. No, Evolution's a dance studio. And so she's there, and she's practicing with her moves. So she's dancing. And then we go over to Dorit in her kitchen with Phoenix. And Dorit's like, you know, Phoenix, I think you're the definition of sassy. What's going to happen in 8 years? And Phoenix is like, well, I'll probably be the sassiest teenager. You know, I'll get a world record for most sassy. She's like, oh, Phoenix.
Like, I'll take that grape. Just walks out. It's like, you're so sassy, Phoenix. So then we go to Garcelle getting a face treatment. I got one of these little things for Christmas, and I'm terrified to use it. Also, oh, yeah. I think I need to stop doing so many things to my face because, like, even if I lay down for a nap, my face just, like, crumples up. Like, I wake up and I look like this, like a Sharpe. Mm-hmm. I have a Sharpe face. I think I need to stop. I think I'm making my skin too thin. Anyway, Garcelle has this, I think it's called the new face. That's what it is for me. But it's like these little metal balls on the end of it, and they have magnetic things, and it's supposed to be like a facelift, and you do it yourself. But you know how I build shelves. Can I be trusted to do my own facelift?
I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to answer that question because you're going to get this machine anyway and you're going to do it. So I don't want to be like, no, Ronnie. And then you get it. And then you're like, see, you didn't believe in me. So I'm just going to say I support your journey. And look, the results have been great. Every single time we go anywhere live, people come up to me like, Ronnie, your skin looks amazing. So I say just continue on your path.
You're such a sweet guy. Okay. So I will note that disapproval in your voice. You'd be like, remember that time I didn't say I told you so, but I wanted to tell you so? Well,
no,
didn't
I
tell
you so, but wanted to. I think it's perfectly safe, and I think it'll be great. And you're already down the path. And if you stop now, then you're fucked. So you got to do it anyway.
How bad could it be? Wanted it because of a Facebook ad from China. So sounds great.
Yeah, just
I
think it's get it off of Temu.
Completely
don't mind those bare wires.
Oh, I just got our crappy awards off Temu, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, good. We'll all get lead poisoning.
Okay, so let's see. So Garcelle, yeah. Okay, so she does her thing. And they're like, wow, your face is going to look great. And she's like, but will I be toothless?
Ha, 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 ha. That went on for 5 minutes. And then now we have Sutton.
Garcelle's entire journey on the show. I feel like if they showed all of Garcelle's journey, it would just be her going.
It really would be. It would be a very long montage. So now we just land on Sutton. She's in front of her house and she is plucking roses from her bushes, and she's got like a little basket. Like this is her like rose cutting basket. Like, you know, she was in Santa Fe sometime, was like, I like that. Avi, get that down from the shelf. This could be like a nice rose cutting basket. Should we get it? He's like, you don't need a single use basket. I'm getting it, Avi. So now she's got her rose cutting basket.
And you know, he had to carry that shit the whole way through the rest of the trip. And then he had to check one of his bags because he had to carry this fucking basket that she wouldn't let go of. And then they got to the airport and she's like, oh, you have a checked bag. Well, I'm not going to wait for that. I'll be in the car. And then just leaves him while he's like sitting there with his fucking basket that she wanted to cut a rose. And then she never used it. It was in the garage for like 6 years.
I mean, well, his iPad has a crack in it now. Because it was never intended to go into checked luggage.
Right.
So so she's cutting roses very deliberately. And Kyle drives up and she's like, oh my God, you're cutting roses. I mean, you look like you're like working for the Easter Bunny or something. She's very satisfied with her jokes.
I was like, they smell like perfume. Where did you even get these from? What are you pretending to cut the roses, son? Why are you? And she's like, no, I pick these roses all the time. I talk to them. It's very good for you to talk to your plants. Okay.
Also your husband, but I don't know. That's a whole other issue.
What would you say?
Also your husband. Good to talk to your husband, too. But I don't know. That's none of my business.
So they go inside because Kyle doesn't want sun on her face. And, you know, same, you know. Feel the sun on your skin.
Listen.
That song. You know that song? Na, 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 na. Isn't that The Hills? Yeah, that's Ben's favorite that show. That's your favorite that show of all time.
The theme song of The Hills. Not to be confused with The Valley. By the way.
Let's feel the rain on your skin, right? She never says feel the sun
on your skin.
Okay. It's acceptable then.
By the way, you don't have to tell me to feel it. Like, I feel it. It's rain. The other thing is, of course, The Hills, that makes me think of The Valley, which is a new show coming to Bravo that exploded onto social media last night because it is the show that no one asked for. And we'll probably have to watch it, but I don't know if anyone, like, I don't understand the appeal of this show. This is the show of Jax and Brittany and Kristen Doty and then a whole bunch of others living in the San Fernando Valley, famously in armpit of California. It's just kind of like having a show called The Staten Island or something like that. Like, I just don't know why are we having a show focused on the San Fernando Valley? And it stars Jax and Brittany I don't know why we need this in our lives.
I'm not shaming the Val. Listen, that's probably where I'll end up moving one day. I'm going to go live in the Val.
The Valley is... The Valley's the worst. I'm sorry. The Valley is the worst. I know. And then I'm going to hear, you know, everyone, Valley defenders always say the same things. Well, there's left turn arrows and there's parking and there's room and it's a good place to raise your kids.
Those are good arguments.
That's fine. That's fine. It's still a wasteland. It is a wasteland. It is a wasteland of space. I'm sorry. I've lived there. I've been there many times. I go there every single week. The Valley and Culver City, two nadirs in California society.
Wow. I think the Valley has good targets and they do have big parking and they have the Burbank Airport, which I think is the best airport.
Oh, that's fair. Burbank Airport is a big asset.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if I want to see a show about Jax and Brittany, quote unquote, adulting, because that was the tagline. It's like, let's see eight people learn how to be an adult in the Valley. I'm like, literally, let's see the entire audience collectively roll their eyes and turn off the TV.
Jax is 45. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure that that works for any of that, but whatever. I'm in. Listen, it's Bravo. Did we ask for anything on Bravo? Nothing. You know, Bravo gives you, Bravo tells you what you want. It gives it to you. And then you're like, you know what? This is great. I didn't ask for Southern Hospitality. Love it. I didn't ask for Dancing Queens, which, to be honest, I probably have asked for that multiple times.
Yeah, I was like, you asked for that. You asked for that. You sent in a letter.
Well, I don't wait for things that I ask for. I wait for Bravo to tell me what I'm going to love next. And that's it. I'm into it. I'm into the Valley. Now, I didn't understand it was all of those people. That's a lot of new people. I'm not really sure what they bring to the table because the preview didn't really show anything. It's just Jax riding on like one of those little kids, cars, you know, the kids electric cars. And it's supposed to be hilarious because it's Jax, on a tiny car. It's like Donkey Kong. It's like a Donkey Kong kind of shot from Mario Kart. Donkey Kong on a tiny car. And he's just driving through, waving at everybody on their lawns. Because remember, that was Jax's big thing when he got a house. They showed him in the opening scene of just like mowing the lawn. That was like his, he's like, I'm an adult now. So I guess that's the vibe they're going through. Everyone's standing on their lawn and Jax is just passing by, you know, snorting up a line that goes like from one sidewalk around different sidewalks of the entire Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, that he was sort of revisiting that. But I just feel like, does Bravo not remember the thing that plunged Vanderpump Rules into its dark era? Like, I should say, it's always in a dark era. In its boring era, was its, like, adulting phase? Does, like, do the producers not remember, like, that's the thing that we hated the most? I just don't know if I want to see a bunch of people who are between the ages of 37 and 44 marveling at things like changing diapers and paying bills. Like, to me, that is just like not compelling television. We'll watch it. It's gonna be the best thing of all time. It'll break records. I mean, I'm ready to eat my words, but just I want to, like, you can't eat your words without having the words out there in the first place. So I'm just putting them out there. Just give me a little bit of a jolt of haterade to start this fine day.
I don't like to eat my words. I do, however, like to eat my feelings. They're delicious.
That's good too.
Listen, just have some sides. So here we go. So Kyle is being wacky with Sutton. I don't remember them making up. Do you? I thought they were fighting still.
Yeah. I feel like they did make up, but it's sort of like this season's been kind of like a flowing ribbon. Like, it's sort of hard for me to just remember what happens distinctly. Like, there was the taco night, but there was also Kyle's night, and they kind of feel like the same dinner party, and I don't know, everything kind of is flowing. So I'm gonna go with the flow and say they've made up somewhere along the way.
Yeah, they're really hammering that home. So Kyle comes in and she's like, yeah, can I have some water? And she's like, some water? She goes, sure, I'll have some water. That's hilarious how you say that. Like, what do you say, like, water? Wow, hilarious. I'm going to look in your fridge, okay? You don't have anything in your fridge, son. So we're supposed to believe that Sutton eats because I'm looking at her fridge. There is nothing in there.
I think the implication is Kyle's fridge is so full because she is a beloved chef who makes great blackened salmon, guys. Kyle loves to cook. Don't we all know that? That's why her fridge is so full.
It's funny how Kyle is really driving home this whole Sutton doesn't eat thing, because isn't Kyle fighting a bunch of Ozempic rumors herself? Because every time she does an interview, she's like, people are like so mean to me right now online. And I'm like, what's wrong with working out? Nothing. I mean, everyone's not on Ozempic. Okay, I can work out. So it's kind of funny karma, because her whole season is spent insinuating that someone else is.
It is. Annie,
you know.
It is funny, because also Kyle is suddenly working out like rigorously, and there's something obsessive about Kyle's behavior too.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Being an actual royal is never about finding your happy ending, but the worst part is if they step out of line or fall in love with the wrong person,
it changes the course of history.
I'm Arisha Skidmore Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin.
We've been telling the stories of the rich and famous on the hit Wondery show, Even the Rich, and talking about the latest celebrity news on Rich and Daily. We're going all over the world on our new show, Even the Royals.
We'll be diving headfirst into the lives of the world's kings, queens, and all the wannabes in their orbit throughout history. Think Succession meets The Crown meets real life.
We're going to pull back the gilded curtain and show how royal status might be bright and shiny, but it comes at the expense of, well, everything else. Like your freedom, your privacy, and sometimes even your head. Follow Even the Royals on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Even the Royals early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
If Sutton goes, if I had known that Kyle was going to look in my refrigerator, I would have put more food in there just to prove I eat a lot, which actually only proves that you stock your refrigerator better, but that's fine.
So let's see. What do they talk about here? They start talking about what happened at the last party, dun, 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 which was very sad because it was the celebration of life where Kyle sung about getting banged, or Morgan sang about getting banged on the kitchen floor. And so Sutton is talking about how it was a nice event, but like, where was Mauricio? And Kyle says, you know, like he was traveling. That's a lot. I mean, he was in Mexico City. He was in Aspen. And Sutton's pissed. She's like, I'm not accepting the excuse that Mauricio is giving. Unless you are in the hospital or dead in a ditch, you show up for your wife and your wife's dead friend.
Which I agree. And so Kyle's like, yeah, he went to Aspen and then they flew to a friend's place to Mexico City and he gets back on Friday, but he'll be there at the homeless, not homeless. Remember, it was like funny last season. Let's do it again.
They homeless. Don't have cars. Is that what the homeless, not cars?
Homeless, not
assistantless. We are hilarious.
Homeless, not banjo-less.
Are they toothless? Are they toothless homeless people?
I'm like, listen, this was very funny last year, but now it's been a year. We've all been saying homeless, not toothless. You know how to say it, Kyle. You know how to say the charity.
Yeah, both of you. They're really trying to drive that one home. So then Kyle's like, listen, here's what I know. I want them to have homes and I want them to have teeth. It's very upsetting that I have to choose one of the two.
Son's like, what is wrong with us? Why can't we remember that? Oh, you know, I was having this kind of emotional day yesterday because I was thinking about all this and preparing. And I just wanted to be strong for you. And then Garcelle comes up and is like, Anne Marie's coming for you. She's coming for me. I mean, what did I do? And meanwhile, I'm like, we had a really great day on Saturday. I mean, why is she coming for me? What is it like? What about what? And Kyle's like, yeah, you let her lick your armpit. And so we see some unseen footage of Anne Marie licking Sutton's armpit. So Sutton got like all the licks and the kisses in Ojai.
Yeah. And Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, I thought you guys were like a thing. I mean, it was like crazy. And now she's like talking about y'all. And Sutton's saying, yeah, she's talking about my esophageal problem. Do not come for my esophagus. Leave my esophagus alone.
And Kyle's like, okay, we have seen Sun throw a fit and get into fights over some really ridiculous things. And we see like a montage of all of Sun's fights. She goes, but maybe Sun has met her match. I'm like, yeah, you brought her on. Don't act like you're surprised. You brought on Sun's match. So remember your part in all this.
So then they start talking about this trip to Barcelona that they're going to take. And we get a flashback that we didn't see of Sutton being like, it has been a very tumultuous few months, not homeless. So let's take this trip as a time together to come together and to have fun and remember that we love each other. And they're like, oh my God, where are we going? So she goes, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Stiggy's not toothless. It's still hilarious.
I have to say, I do love this episode that they are going to a charity function to give, you know, dental, to basically allow dentistry or provide like charitable dentistry to the unhoused while simultaneously perusing extravagant luxury villas in Barcelona that they can, you know, traipse off to, you know. Edmund Kyle's like, I just wish, like, I want to give them both. It's like, meanwhile, as she's like packing her bags to like live in a house that could like, you know, house like, you know, six families. That's about the best part of the show.
Yeah, I used to do cater waitering a long time ago when I lived in New York. And wow, those charity events are insane. The galas, everyone comes in a big, huge ball gown. It's like Cinderella's gala and they all have themes and, you know, orchestras. And there, I mean, it's just so extravagant and all the money spent on the food and the waiters and the, does anybody ever get teeth? Like, how does this work out? Like, what are you guys like taping in chiclets at the end of the day? Because I don't know how anybody makes a profit off of these things. You know, they eat the profit. They feed each other the profit. Fucking rich people, I'm telling you. I would say eat the rich, but none of them have meat on their bones.
Here's your dental floss. You can put it in the corner of your box, and we're going to go off to our luxury villa now in Barcelona. So Sutton's like, so they're gonna go, and Sutton's saying, you know, that Anne-Marie owes her an apology. And Kyle's like, well, you invited everybody and Anne-Marie last night. I mean, you can't disinvite Anne-Marie to the trip. But she goes, no, but she owes me an apology. And then we have Crystal. Now Crystal's in her backyard. Crystal finally has her big episode. Crystal, this is like where Crystal is now earning her her diamond, because all season we've been kind of like, Crystal's giving friend of energy. Why is she still like a full housewife? But now she's in her backyard and she's FaceTiming Garcelle to talk about the night before and Kyle's party. So,
yeah. So she's like, yeah, you know, last night was really fun, but, you know, someone I thought might have forgotten about that event, like Anne-Marie, like, what was going on with Anne-Marie? And she's like, yeah, she was really committed to whatever she was doing last night. she was implying eating disorder. I don't even think it was really implied. I think she, I mean, I guess it was heavily implied, but I mean, it was pretty much an accusation there.
Yeah. It was implied and, plus.
Yes. So then we see a flashback to that conversation where she did in fact say, listen, if anybody has that kind of, like something wrong with her esophagus like that, it's like either eating disorder or, and then we cut back and Crystal's like, I mean, what's your purpose with this whole thing? Like, what's your end game with this? Are you just like trying to shame her for an eating disorder? And Garcelle's like, look, I know she's in the medical field, but you know, maybe lay off a bit. Leave Sutton and her esophagus alone. I mean, what am I, the esophagus referee now?
Coming soon to Nick Jr., the esophagus referee. So Crystal's like, I mean, and also, like, when I met her around Christmas, she told me she was a doctor and not a nurse. And Crystal's like, what? Yeah, that's true. Which, by the way, this surprises me. I have to say, I feel like maybe Crystal misheard this thing. I don't know. I do have a hard time believing that. I mean, Anne-Marie seems like she's a piece of work, but even I don't think that, like, Anne-Marie would literally say she's a doctor when she's not. But, you know, we've seen crazier things. So Crystal's like, yeah, I met Anne-Marie at a holiday party many months ago, and she said she was an anesthesiologist. It's funny to hear how she, like, you know, when she joined the group, that she, in fact, is not one, and she's a nurse anesthetist, which is very different. But just, I just couldn't help but think, like, what else are you lying about?
Yeah. And thank you for saying this, by the way, Crystal, because this was making me crazy. She's like, by the way, I Googled narrow esophagus and it's like the first thing you look up. Like, it is a thing.
You've been saying this for like weeks now, Ronnie.
Well, basically, yeah. And of course, you know, in their time, it's probably the same amount of time where it's like, oh, let's Google that, you know. Mm-hmm. But people on these shows really don't tend to Google things very often. So I was like, wow, Sutton's basically a detective. She Googled narrow esophagus. That's a lot. Do you remember that whole Lyme storyline with Yolanda, and no one ever bothered to even Google what any of those terms meant?
Yeah, well, I remember. So Crystal, she Googled it, and it's like, she's like, it's very much a thing. It's not like it's never happened before. She goes, when you type it in, one of the next words is genetic. So there's a genetic issue to it. And she was saying that her family has it. That's enough for me. I mean, because if there's one possible answer, that means there's one possibility that she's telling the truth. And that was enough for me.
And she's basically like, oh, my God, like, she's just like, so she has such intensity about wanting to out Sutton over a narrow esophagus. What is going on? This is the most bizarre justice storyline I've ever seen on Housewives. And we've seen some crazy justice storylines. But I'm kind of here for it. I'm kind of here for some esophagus mystery.
I don't hate it. I enjoy a really petty fight, you know. I think Anne-Marie is just doesn't realize that she's gone too hard on this one. She should have let the mouse go. So Crystal's like, I mean, Anne-Marie spent hours researching Sutton's esophageal issue and couldn't find anything, and in 5 minutes I was able to Google it. Maybe I'm a doctor.
So then, Piki and Dorit meet with Nick, the event planner. And so they're at a hotel, you know, for the Homeless Not Toothless event. And they're going through it. What was I going to say? Nick, we've seen Nick before, right? That's like
he's been around.
One of her besties. So then Dorit is like, oh, I'm so excited. Last year, there was a COVID surge. We basically just had to say, you know, we're going to postpone the gala. And then, you know, we had a dinner at home with the girls. All mushy food. Because you just never know who's going to show up to these things.
Of course, because of the surge, we had to temporarily rename the charity COVID Not Toothless. But, you know, now we're back to homeless.
So then we see last year's Homeless Not Toothless dinner, which they really underplayed how great that dinner was. They chose like the most like average parts of that dinner. And then Dorit's like, you know, I really, oh yeah, we see it with, she just said Dorit telling Kathy. So then Dorit is like, for the gala, I'm kind of hoping that there's more attention on the performance, right? And less on the name this time. Okay. And once they pass that line, by the way, if people come to this line, I want to get past the security. I just want, can anyone slip through the doors? Can any homeless people that already have teeth come in with a knife and attack anyone? I just want to make sure that we're all safe in the ballroom.
Listen, this is the Homeless Not Toothless party, so I need to make sure that there's only rich people and not homeless. Concerned. Wealthy, not homeless.
Because, listen, one of the things that worries me about you is that you're taking too many thoughts on, which is funny because it's probably the first time someone's accused you of doing that. But you got to trust your people. You got me, you got Nick, and by the way, you know what else you've got? Ladies and gentlemen, Berlin.
Take my breath away.
Berlin's standing there with clipboards writing down notes. And so, do you want 8 tops or 10 tops?
Take my breath away.
Sorry, we're contractually obligated to do the chorus every 10 seconds.
Dorit, babe, please put down some of those thoughts, would you? It's a lot of thoughts, eh? Hey, Nick. Could you get Berlin back in here? Carry some of Dorit's thoughts. Don't want her to hurt herself. There's a lot of strain. All right.
So Dorit feels like actually after therapy that PK has really been listening to her more, which is funny because I didn't see any evidence of that in this. But hey, I thought this entire scene was her saying like, I'm really worried about security. I have a specific trigger about this, and him saying, babe, why are you thinking about this so much? Okay. Don't worry about it. You got this gay man here. He'll stand by the door.
I just wanted to say, babe, I love you so much. You're the most meaningful thing in my life. I never could have dreamed of finding someone better than you. Am I right?
Are you talking to a bag of Cheetos, Piquet?
Sorry, babe. Were you saying something? Block the doors, Nick. Block the goddamn doors. Don't need poor people in here, all right? Those people can smell Cheetos a mile away.
How many people are going to be here, honey? She goes, oh, honey, we got 400 people here. Oh, and Nick's like, just all of our closest friends. Quiet, Nick. You're not part of this. Street's like, exactly. 400 people plus Paula Abdul and William Hamacy. I think you mean H. Macy.
I thought it was missing a vowel. Thank you.
And he's like, we're working on a surprise, which we quite haven't pulled off yet. Am I right? So, we're going to get a musical surprise. Hope it's Boy George.
they're gonna put up a curtain over half the Beverly Hilton ballroom. It's like, sorry, everyone. Unfortunately, there was a bad mold problem at the hotel, so our gala is going to be restricted to just one half of the ballroom. Just kidding, ladies and gentlemen. Boy George, featuring Berlin.
With mold all over her face. Listen, I didn't want to keep that one from you. I know we'd promised it. So here it goes.
Homeless, not moldy.
So they go down to a lower room and they are having to approve the table settings and stuff. And it's like, oh, God, we're doing a food tasting today. Thank God I brought some chips. Is it dips? Just please tell me it's dips. I've got some Lays here.
And Reed's like, no food tastings. Well, that's a shame. So the director of catering is like, here's a table. And PK's like, all right, well, Dorit is super, super more polite than me. Also a little bit dumber, let's be honest. That's why she's playing with that cat toy in the corner. So she wouldn't say this, but I know what she's thinking, that this looks like a canteen in an office. And, you know, Andre's like, a canteen? I'm not sure I understand what you're talking about here.
So Dorit tells us, even though I would probably work on the delivery, I love that Piquet can say things that I would be mortified to say. What, you know, things like, that looks like a canteen in an office. What does that even mean? Thank God for his strength, his deep down strength.
You know, what's on his lung is on his tongue, and what's on his tongue is also on his lung, which is why he always has a few Pringles lying on his chest.
So he's like, all right, I don't like that tablecloth. What about that tablecloth being black? Can we do that? I'd rather a different tablecloth. Listen, this is a homeless, not toothless event, not ugly on. Let's get rid of it, all right? I want something edible. Do you have that?
Here's
do you have
thing.
Like a fruit roll-up type of tablecloth? Something like
how
that.
How about instead of a red carpet, just a big fruit roll-up in front of the hotel? How about this? I don't want the tables to actually look like teeth. I want them to look like the absence of teeth. Make these tables look like the gaps in the homeless people's mouths and make them all black. Okay? Can we do that?
So the guy's like, okay, do you want silver and black then? And he's like, exactly. It's exactly what I want. And Nick's like, guys, gotta point out the flower arrangement. Disgusting, am I right? It's all pink. It's all Vanderpink. Can we not? And she's like, oh, no, we need to go with white roses and lilies. It's nighttime. The horror.
All right, hear me out. Instead of flowers, how about this? Every dentist contributes one of their free Oral-B toothbrushes. We make bouquets out of toothbrushes and floss, put it right in the middle of the table. It's right on theme. It's prettier than a flower. It makes sense. And it's also free. What do you think?
Baby, feels daytime in here. Feels daytime.
She's like, it does. It feels daytime. I need it to feel nighttime.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So she's like, Piquet, complaining about tables and calling them canteens and spouting tongues from lungs. It really makes me feel like when we first met. And I went up to him and I said, I've never seen someone quite so pasty before. And he looked me deep in the eye and he said, you're pretty. And the little piece of Lays got caught in my eye after he spit it at me. And I was blinded.
And in honor of this charity, I will no longer say that PK looks pasty. I will merely say he looks toothpastey. Homeless, not toothless.
So now Crystal is meeting with her brother at my favorite breakfast place. I was so triggered because I decided to watch Beverly Hills this morning instead of last night. And then this morning I was hungry. And then I was like, if I'd watched the show last night, I could have gone to Republic also, just like Crystal and her brother, and had a beautiful breakfast. Instead, I wasn't. So I was really jealous. I was really triggered by the scene because I was so jealous.
I was very just pissed off reaction. It wasn't Republic. Like, how can you go to a restaurant on Bravo called Republic and it's not filled with a bunch of sleuths? Like,
I know. This is actually Republic.
Southern Hospitality.
I know. I was like, where was Emmy, like, in the corner being like, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to move up in the world of Republic in Los Angeles. I was really upset about that as well. And Leah's CEO.
Who'd you say the celebrity chef was?
I don't know if it's not a celebrity chef.
Oh, I thought you just said, chef. Oh, it's Long Jean Tiver.
No, I was just saying it's actually called Republic. I said Republic, but it's Republic. Well, I'm just so used to saying Republic from Southern Hospitality.
Of course.
I mean, of course, it's Republic.
It's not the valley, is it? So it's got class. It's a classy city place, so we pronounce it funny, guys.
No, it's a delicious breakfast spot, so of course it's not the valley. Mm. Actually, you know what? You know what's a really good breakfast place in the valley? There is a place that Leah Remini's mom owns called Vivian's World Cafe. Now, that is a good breakfast spot. How about that?
Well, there you go. So, here's what I don't need. Breakfast. I don't like breakfast. So, fuck Republic. Fuck Republic. Wow. Okay. And fuck Leah Remini's mom's place. I don't care. I don't care about that place either. And here's another thing I don't need. Leah. Crystal's brother. Stop trying to make Crystal's brother happen on my television. I don't need it. I don't care. Okay. And guess what? If your sister was mean about your girlfriend probably sucked. Because...
yeah,
trust your family, okay? And if your sister and your mother both hate your girlfriend, find a better one, okay? That's how this works. You don't get to just be like, and now I'm leaving, so I never have your opinion again. You're not going to escape their opinion, so just get somebody that they'll like. Or yeah, hide them.
Get someone cool. Like, you're a pop star, which means that you're probably going to, like, attract really awful people. Let's be honest, okay?
Yeah.
So, but that being said, he definitely should have taken his girlfriend's side instead of his sister and mom's side when it was COVID time. That, I think, is an insurmountable thing. And I think there's no getting back to that. He's lost. He's already lost. He's throwing good money after bad.
I don't care. Like, it's... I'm sorry. I don't think I stressed enough the first time.
I don't care about Crystal's brother. Clear him.
The good news is he's self-clearing because he's going to go to Bangkok for half the year. So he's going to go there. What do you want to
bet? It's the half of the year that they're not shooting Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
He's going to work on getting his pop career back, and he's going to do it in Bangkok. And it's going to be a great time for him. And Crystal is going to look sadly down on her plate and reflect that she's been an overbearing sister. And she will then look up from her plate and be like, fuck it, I like being an overbearing sister, and I'm going to stay this way. And that's where it is. That's where it goes.
So then we go to everybody getting ready, and they're like, what
is this event again? Homeless?
It's literally just everyone in the cast like, is it homeless, not roller skate? Not roller skate?
So everyone's getting ready, and PK is checking out, Dorit's checking out PK's suit and everything. And then, of course, she's like, hold on, now I'm going to go, let's take some photos. So she goes out to the balcony and does like her classic Dorit poses in the sun, you know. And then this is amusing to me. Rob is not, he's going to be coming to the event later, because he has to go to a Brave Little Toaster event, which I just love Los Angeles. Sorry, I can't. I got a Brave Little Toaster tribute event I've got to go to instead.
Well, Brave Little Toaster event. First of all, why are we calling toasters brave? I mean, they're the ones with all the power in that relationship. You know who's brave? The bread. The bread who goes bread into the toaster, the bread comes in all soft. It's just trusting this fucking machine to do whatever. Where's the brave little bread? I'm sick of carbs being villainized.
Also, the toaster is like the PTSD vet you see in the movies where something triggers them and then they've like slammed someone against the wall and they're like, oh, And they're like, come on, bro. Come on, what's wrong? Because, like, you know, if you don't say come on, bro, the toaster, that bread comes out black. You have to, like, be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And you have to, like, you always have to manually get that bread out, you know? Save the bread.
Toasters are also low-key murderers because they purposely get the bread stuck in them, and then your natural response is to get a fork, and then you'll die. So what else are you supposed to get bread out of? Your fingers, or you'll get burned. You can still get electrocuted. What the fuck are you supposed to get? Like, we all have a wooden chopstick. I do, just because I love to have a chopstick. But
right.
In general, like, what are you supposed to do? Toasters are murderers. I'm sick of celebrating them. But just in case anybody's wondering, The Brave Little Toaster is a 1987 musical fantasy animated film. So.
Oh, I thought it was... I thought it was Joe Coy hosting the Golden Globes. God, he was brave to go up there with such terrible material. top.
That was the here. Brave roaster, am I right?
You know what? There we go.
So then, let's see. Awkward. So that was awkward. This is even more awkward. It's Mauricio driving in a limo with Kyle and Morgan's hair. Why is Kyle literally putting her hair the exact same way we just saw Morgan wearing it? It's getting creepy. I'm creeped out by this whole thing.
Also, why is this the limo ride that the producers decided not to put GoPros in the car? Because that camera is up in their faces. They're like crammed into the shot together. Like their heads are like touching. And so Marisha's like, so I love being where are we going? And Kyle's like, the Beverly, you know what? Oh, like Hilton, it's okay. You can say their last name. And he's like, so it's like homeless, not toothless. Yeah. So, okay. Well, oh, you had your thing. That was your event. That was for green beans. You wanted to have more green beans in children's diets, right? That was the event that you're doing?
No.
Is that the thing about Monaco, about like the Grace Kelly... like wig drive? Is that what was this event you did that I missed? I don't even know what it was.
Oh my God, Mauricio, just being so blasé. And I love all these scenes they shot with Mauricio, or Mauricio's shocked that Kyle hates him. Like, he has not gotten over the shock that Kyle hates him. He seems shocked every time she says a new line, and in every line she's dripping with hatred for him. He's like, so how'd that event go? She's like, well, I mean, I wanted it to, like, be accessible. Like, I wanted people to have a good time, but also remember why we were there. Like, why you weren't there. And he's just giving her a look like, love bean. Ouch. Oh,
and then he goes, God,
stick a fork in me. I'm done. Oh, love bean. Oh.
He goes, none of the guys went, right? Almost implying, like, it's okay I wasn't there because it was a women's only event. And she goes, no. So then she's, like, saying that she would have loved for Mauricio to be there because he was close to her too. And then we see a flashback of Laureen's poor mom crying and saying, is Mauricio going to be here? And Kyle has to say, no, he's not coming.
Yes. So then let's see. He's like, yeah, I've been traveling a lot. And she's like, yeah. And he goes, well, I'm trying to get caught up. She goes, well, now I'm going to be the one traveling. So what do you think of that? I'm going to go to Barcelona. And then I'm going to go to IKEA in a place called the Valais. yeah, Spain. So suck that.
He's like, you're going to the Valley? He's like, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that. I'm going to go to the Valley. Do you have to have a passport to go there? Classic Vanderpump line. Oh, sorry. That was triggering for you.
And Kyle's like, yeah, well, it's like a little bit of a taste of his own medicine, to be honest, because like, there are like so many times where suddenly he's like, oh, I'm going to Portugal. Oh, I'm going for Chicago. Like, I don't get a heads up. So, whoops.
Well, that's healthy. So Kyle's like, yeah, we're going to go with the girls. He goes, oh, amazing. Amazing. Although, also, I'm not sure why he's so surprised, considering that they're filming this. This is like the 13th season that Kyle has filmed this show. Like, he knows a girls' trip is coming up. So, Dorit, now we have Dorit and PK arriving at the event. And then we see, so she's taking photos and everything, and she's really happy. And then Erica she arrives. And she's just, like, in the room, and... the guy walks up to her and she's like, hi, I'm Erica. Nice to meet you. And he's like, hi, how are you? What's your name? She's like, oh, I'm so-and-so. And she was like, oh, and it's like, you look beautiful. Thank you very much. I mean, you are so hot. Thank you. I mean, are you single? Because, wow, you look like someone I'd like to go out on a date with. Hey, aren't you my dentist? Hey.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, I remember you. Speaking of handouts, I'm your patient. I posted you on Instagram one time. Oh, remember? I was in for a cleaning. Well, I was going to come in because I lost my bleach tray. Look at this.
He's like, still hot. You're still hot, so I don't care.
He's like, okay, good to talk to you, weirdo. Bye. Which one is it? Which category is this one in? The homeless or the giraffe-less? That is hilarious. We're never going to get that as a cast. Best comedy.
How did the two of them not seem to recognize each other? That's my question. How did they not know? So now Kyle and Mauricio arrive, and Mauricio is like, you know, got like a man crush on Marcellus, because he's like, my man, hey, looking good. Ah, let's see those teeth. Ah, let's do a pose. Okay, 3/4 turn. Yeah, oh yeah, my man.
And Kyle's like, oh my god, Mauricio, let them concentrate. They're getting their picture taken. It's really hard. Mauricio, what's even in that drink? What is it? Like, what is it? Is it alcohol? Is it weed? Just checking.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's alcohol, love bean. And she's like, I feel like every time I go to one of these events, there's like a lot of whispering and watching Mauricio and me, which just feels really strange and exhilarating. And they're just like analyzing me from like every move and gesture. It's what I've always wanted, quite frankly.
One of Portia's friends passes and takes a 20 out of her hand and then like starts filming her with his iPhone. I mean, come on, Kyle.
I wouldn't no buy that like guy whispering, asking questions at this
literally
point.
Nobody asked, but keep trying. She's like, hi, so this is a red carpet. Is there a red carpet for possible lesbians? I mean, did I say that out loud? Stop staring at me. Stop.
So everyone's still gathering on the inside. And and by the way, they also have like a moment on the red carpet where Marisa's like, okay, I'm going to let you take some solos. And he steps away and she takes photos on her own and he takes photos on her own. And the show's like, I'm like, dun, dun, dun. This feels pretty standard red carpet fare. They're both celebrities. I think they probably were both going to do their solo photos.
They're like, click, 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 click. Stop, please, stop. Please.
Questions. No questions about Morgan Wade, my new best friend. No questions whatsoever, please.
So Sutton and Garcelle and Erica and Crystal are all talking, and you know, it's the usual Beverly Hills.
Oh my god, you look so pretty. No, you look beautiful. No, you look stunning. You look fucking amazing. I just fell over. I just choked on how fucking amazing you look. You are gorgeous.
They did that for about 5 minutes, and then Erica asks how Sutton is, and she's like,
good. I have a magical esophagus. What do you think about that? You want to talk about my esophagus some more? Let's make another party about my esophagus.
Oh, an MP as an ME. You know, MP being magic. Pussy! Pat the MP, bitch! So then we have a flashback to when they all had, like, girls' night. And Erica's like, what's with the magical pussy? Is it the grip? Is it the wetness? Like, what are we talking about here? Blah, blah, blah.
And yeah, Sutton's saying, it's the sweetness. What? I don't remember that. Is that unseen footage?
I think it was unseen. Yeah.
Is this what we're missing by not watching this on Peacock? Because I will totally wait till the day after if I'm going to get some sweet Sutton vajayjay commentary. It's really
my magical esophagus is like my MP in that it's smooth and silky and also very tight. And sometimes you little bits of food can get stuck in it, I'll be honest.
Also, it occasionally chokes on crackers. Okay.
A lot of weird things happen.
It sounded weird saying that out loud, but y'all understand.
I didn't tell my matchmaker about that particular proclivity of mine.
Oh my god, Sian! Tell me about your magical vagina!
What are the top three things that you like to stuff in there, food-wise?
Okay, so she goes, here's the thing. Don't fuck with me about my esophagus. Sorry. You don't talk about my body behind my back, because that is not going to go well for you. No, man.
No, ma'am.
She starts. She just starts her no ma'am train.
Yeah, lots of no ma'ams. So Emery comes in and she starts heading to their table, and they're all just like smiling but talking under the breath, like, "Oh God, here she comes! Oh no, here it's happening!" So she arrives, and Emery brings Marcellus over because he hasn't met the woman yet. So he's doing the whole "I'm a hugger first" thing, and sounds like, "Oh,
is your esophagus okay over there?"
I'm like having coffee burps over here. I've got my esophagus is like my esophagus is like a magic. I don't know. I'm not gonna finish this. I'm not gonna
so Marcellus comes over and he's like, hey everybody, hey, I'm a hugger. Come on in for a hug. Which, by the way, if you Google him, don't start with a hug. Stand over there. How about that? Keep your fucking hands to yourself, sir.
That might be an understatement.
So then Sutton's like, okay, well, I'm Sutton. He goes, oh, yeah, I've heard. And it just gives a look. Sutton, the camera just cuts to Sutton like a doink. So she tells Anne-Marie, she's like, we need to talk right now. She goes, yeah, we'll talk. And she goes, no, right now. So Anne-Marie's like, yeah, okay, go to the bar, Marcellus. Just get us a drink. He goes, okay, I love that. You could just say, you know, excuse yourself, not just go to the bar. She is hilarious. I mean, listen, she's not a 10 at giving the instructions, but
that was a good.
She's a solid 8.5.
Yeah,
solid
8.5. So, you know what? You picked the wrong person. So, son, let me explain. Excuse me, ma'am. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Well, let me explain. No, ma'am. Ma'am? No, ma'am. Excuse me, ma'am. No, ma'am. Name him. Name, no, ma'am. Oh, maybe all the time when she was saying name him, she was saying no, ma'am, really fast. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Name him. Name him.
So then Erica's like,
you gotta be careful with the no ma'ams, because this particular no ma'am could, well, I'm from, get you smacked.
So Anne-Marie is like, oh, I didn't yell, so like, if you want to yell at me, then I will match your energy.
I'm not yelling.
You were yelling. Now you're just lying, because you were yelling, so now you're lying about yelling. So like, what are you, a liar?
Oh, is this the third lie I've told? Yes, this is your third lie. And Erica's like, well, what were the first two? Well, the first one was that her doctor said she could drink and have gabapentin at the same time, which you can't. And also, you can't do that. And are you my doctor? It doesn't matter. I'm a certified nurse anesthetist, so I know about gabapentin. I know about drinking gabapentin. So, like, you can't drink when you have gabapentin. So don't drink when you have gabapentin.
So Kyle comes over and hears them arguing, and she's like, like, you know, Kyle with her jaw on the floor, that people are arguing. So she's like, yeah, I'm board certified, biatch. And Sutton's like, well, we're going to talk about Sam right now. We're going to do it, ma'am. So then we cut to Mauricio and Marcellus, and they're like,
oh, I'm not going by those crazy ladies. They're women. Whoa, you put two women in a room and look at them go. Wind them up. I mean, geez.
Women,
am I right?
Listen, I have a GI doctor that I've seen, so I know what I have. And you said that I made it up. No, I didn't say that you made it up. I just said that you fabricated a lie about something that doesn't even seem to make sense. If it did make sense, it would just have to allude to the fact that Crystal said that you had an eating disorder. That's all I said. And so Crystal's like, you said she lied. You said she lied. And we see a flashback of Anne-Marie saying, you know, I think she's sweet as apple pie, but I've known her for 14 seconds and I've heard two lies out of her mouth.
And Anne-Marie's like, oh, what I said was, what she's saying does not make any sense. That's what I was saying. And Chris is like, no, you said she lied. She goes, okay, but I said, like, if. Like, I said, like, if she's saying that stuff. Like, if, you know. And Garcelle's saying, no, you said you've known her, like, 5 minutes, and she's lied twice already. Okay, yeah, but, like, about the gabapentin, and then, like, potentially this thing. And they're like, just say it. And then Anne-Marie goes, Crystal, you're the one saying she has an eating disorder. Okay.
What?
Okay, that's not even fun housewifery. That's just a lie. I don't like that.
That's like delusion right there. And Crystal, of all people, is not going to be the one to say that. And Crystal goes, are you out of your mind? And Crystal's like, oh, no. Garcelle, why don't you say, can you defend Crystal here? Why don't you say that is a lie? You were the one that said that. Like, you should be careful.
Well, I think she's defending her because she was like, she's saying, no, really loud. Like, oh, hell no. And she just said, like, I mean, you said I've met her for 5 minutes and she's lied twice. I would think they're doing a pretty good job standing up to Anne-Marie. Because then in her next scene, she's like, okay, I'm really sorry. Like, literally for every second of that. So
yeah. Well, I just think that right now Anne-Marie is saying that, considering how loaded calling someone with saying that someone has an eating disorder is, especially in this group where they are particularly touchy about it, with good reason, because several of them have had experience with it, that they've shared that. I just feel like Anne-Marie saying that Crystal accused Sutton of having that, I think that I would have expected Garcelle to be, I think she should have said something like that. You are lying now. This is not the truth. Like, be a little bit more definitive for with her defense of Crystal. But she didn't really have to be fair, because Crystal really handled it herself. Sutton's like, you know what? A cast celebration of life for her friend that is inappropriate to bring up. Crystal's like, yeah, you literally spent 2 hours talking about her to where she and I literally had to leave because it was so annoying.
And this is why I think they're just fucking sick of it, you know, because like here we are. And then we see a clip of it really being 2 hours with literally everybody who came up to that little table. Emery just being, oh my God, have you heard about an esophagus? It's like tight. It's like the biggest bullshit I've ever heard. What do you think about tight esophaguses?
Literally for 2 hours. I thought it was a 5-minute conversation. She talked about it for 2 hours to everyone at this event that's about something that's like not petty at all.
I mean, they've cut her pretty much out of this season, except for this particular storyline, and she's still insufferable. Could you imagine having to sit there and listen to that for 2 hours in a row? Oh my God. Gong. Get the gong.
Yeah. Go. So Emery's like, I am trained to be a critical thinker. So when I hear something that doesn't make sense, we know we try to put it to sense. And Crystal's like, oh my God, come on. She's like, Crystal, you know, Crystal didn't want to go to med school. And if you'd gone to med school, then you'd get that. You'd understand it. First of all, I think you can be a critical thinker without going to med school. I'm just going to put that out there. Just a crazy, I think even me even saying that might even be evidence of being a critical thinker.
Well, we see a clip of Crystal saying on the bus, like, oh yeah, I wanted to go to med school, but Rob didn't, he wanted to have kids right away, so I didn't go to med school. And so Anne-Marie's like, oh yeah, she's jealous because I went to med school, she didn't get to go to med school, so that's where this is coming from. So she goes, yeah, I mean, if you'd have gone to med school, you'd get it. And she goes, did you even go to med school? Because didn't you tell me that you were an anesthesiologist when I met you? And Anne-Marie is like, here we go. Downplaying my profession. Downplaying my... No one's downplaying it. She's accusing you of lying about it. So, which is it? I mean, I don't think she's downplaying it. Because if you're downplaying it, that is uncool. I mean, I Googled this profession a while ago. It's not easy. It's like 8 years of school to get that degree. Now, why she can't Google, I don't really know. Okay, I have no answers for that. All I know is that Google said that that's like an 8-year degree. So...
yeah. And so then Anne-Marie's like, yeah, you're definitely my profession. And Crystal's like, you're such a bitch. She's like, you are what is wrong with you? And so it's like, you owe me a big apology, Anne-Marie. And Anne-Marie is like, I apologize for being concerned and inquisitive, hashtag critical thinker, about something that anybody in my fake profession, according to Crystal, would have been concerned about. So I do apologize for that. Whether you accept it or not, that is on you.
Sounds like, well, thanks for the non-apology. Apology. Okay.
So Erica goes off to get a drink, and they're just going to drop it for right now. But then Kyle goes over to Dorit to be like, oh my God, they are fighting about esophaguses at the homeless. Not, is it homelessness? Not esophagusless? What is it? I mean, it's hilarious. It is hilarious.
She's like, Anne-Marie was so heated and worked up. She's so very elevated. I'm like, well, now you're throwing Anne-Marie under the bus when she was just doing her bidding for, like, your bidding. The whole esophagus fight started because she was defending you, Kyle, because you probably were like, come to my party but defend me. And we know you probably said that because you said it later in the season. I forget which one it was, where Kyle literally say to Anne-Marie, okay, have my back on this.
Was it that the first one? Yeah, it was the first one where she came. It was at Kyle's house. And she's like, well, this lady is accusing me of like starving myself or something because saying that her husband was probably cheating or whatever that whole thing was when the season first started. And that's why Anne-Marie started coming for Sutton.
Yeah. So now Kyle's like, wow, Anne-Marie was really heated. So Andrea's like, they were really loud. They were loud and they were yelling. And Kyle's like, yes. I mean, I was. And then so then Garcelle joins.
How bad was it? Was it as bad as a fight between a toothless homeless person and another toothless homeless person? Those are very loud fights. It's one of the reasons we have this jersey, Kyle.
Oh, that fight was terrifying. It sounded like two steam trains crashing into each other. Lots of whistling and toots from those gaps in their teeth.
So Kyle is like, Garcelle's like, well, Crystal is heated all the way around. And Kyle's like, I've never actually seen Crystal like that. It's like, I didn't even know she had it in her. I did not know she had it in here. You know, we've all wanted Crystal to find her voice, but screaming you're such a bitch at a black tie event, that wasn't exactly what we were talking about. I'm like, Kyle, your most famous quote in 13 years is you saying you're such a fucking bitch, Camille. So, you know.
I mean, that wasn't at a charity dinner, but still. That was Kyle's biggest first house.
You know how easy it is to say it, yeah.
So then Dorit's like, come on, ladies.
This is about the homeless and the shoeless. Let's go. I've fallen into my own trap of comedy.
So now they're going and they're doing a silent auction and stuff. And then there's a ring.
Well, they're homeless, not earless.
Oh, my God. I'll just get the money.
Homeless,
let's get the money.
Earless. Bid, someone please bid on this Boy George novelty hat, because we don't want it to be bidless.
Wait a minute, you just took my hat off my head. Sorry, boy.
So then Mauricio is taught. So they're sitting down now to eat, right? And Mauricio sits next to Sutton, and she's a little like, hello, how are you? He's like, ah, Sutton, how are you, Sutton? Hey, Sutton, I hear you have an esophagus problem. Hilarious. I mean, I'm not saying you do. I'm just saying I heard about it. It's hilarious. You guys.
Really? Really, Mauricio? I hear you have a wife problem. So Sutton's like, all right, Maurice, you can come to the homeless, not toothless event, but you can't come to the celebration of life event for your wife. Now that's messed up.
Okay, everybody. Ding, 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 ding. I'd like to thank the homeless person for dedicating their teeth to that. Cheers, I needed something to ding on. Very, very nice teeth. So, welcome to the 2023 Hollywood Gala for the homeless, not Berlinless. Take it away, Berlin.
No, babe, it's not Top Gun Day. It's not Top Gun Day.
By the way, I love when the announcer welcomed Dorit to the stage by saying, please welcome to the stage fashion designer Dorit Kemsley. Please welcome Capri Room innovator Dorit Kemsley.
Beverly Beach taught me many things.
Okay, so then she brings out their special guest, one of their special guests, who's going to introduce another special guest. It's Paula Abdul, everybody. Paula Abdul, really all over the Bravo Peacock sphere lately, because she was on the Crappy Lake show as well. This one she didn't get to do as much, but she still has her like, hi, I'm Paula Abdul, and I would like to be treated like the gift that I am.
Never forget that Paula Abdul is a Bravo celebrity. She had her own show. So Paula's like, I just want to like welcome everyone. It is sort of like a daisy chain of special guests. Please welcome everyone. Taylor Dane. So then Taylor Dane comes out and Taylor does like a slow version to start. She starts it nice and easy. Tell it to my heart. She's like, tonight I need to let you know.
One, two, tell it to my heart.
Tell me I'm the only one. Is this really love or just a game? And we see all these awkward Beverly Hills people sort of dancing off beat, like doing like claps, like the lady in pink's like dancing.
Yeah, it was awkward. I'd like to give a special awkward shout out, especially to Mauricio. Because, wow. So they're dancing to Taylor Dane, and this is where Erica's like, wow, the strongest voice of all time, Taylor Dane. Which, you know, again, wow. So Crystal's like, I love her. I mean, she's amazing. Like, love you back. Like, that's a classic. And then it just cuts to Anne-Marie, and she's like, I don't know, Taylor Dane.
How dare you, Anne-Marie? That was the worst thing she could have said. Now, do I align with Taylor Dane's political beliefs? No. Do I align with all of her songs? Absolutely.
Love will lead you back. I don't know anything about Taylor Dane's political beliefs. Is Taylor Dane, like, really on the scene with her beliefs? Like,
she was. I feel like she had, like, an active Twitter moment at one point, but I may be confusing her with some. Maybe I'm, like, confusing her with, like, Kathy Tricoli or something. Who knows? You know what? Don't come here for the latest news about Taylor Dane. All you need to know is that I love her music. And whatever her political beliefs are, whether I align with them or not, I don't care because I love her songs.
I don't know what they are. If her I songs, hated her political views enough, I'd be like, fuck Taylor Dane. But I don't really know them, so I don't really care. And this is the latest news about Taylor Dane. She's on Beverly Hills.
She's on Beverly Hills.
We're current.
She's singing great, great music. She told it to our hearts. Love led me back to her. And I'll always love you for the rest of my life.
So,
I should go on.
Let's see here. So now they're talking about, so Sutton's talking to all the ladies and she's like, Spain, am I right? Okay, everybody, we're going to Spain. So friendship is meaningful and we've got to stop this. We've got to stop this fighting. Okay. So what are we going to do? Emery, I like you. I just don't know why you're coming for my esophagus.
So I'm not doing this, Sutton, because I already explained it and like, I'm not going to let you continue the narrative. Okay, like, you're not going to continue the narrative.
Don't rush me. I made that mistake. Okay, Taylor, this is not your conversation. You're going to have to walk away from the table. Okay, Taylor, God, she really wants to be on this show.
And Kyle's like, honestly, I would rather be toothless than deal with this conversation.
Dorit's like, do you guys think we can all maybe go home? Take a deep breath. In the case of PK, eat some leftover pizza in the foyer. He calls it his foyer pizza. I think we can all do that.
Okay, so now everybody's getting packed and ready to go. Oh, we didn't talk about the pink lady. I loved her. Who was that pink lady in there? That lady.
I don't know. She was credited just pink lady.
Dane, bitch.
Taylor Dane shoving Pink Lady out of the way. No, this is my episode. I'm coming back to pop culture.
You did say Pink Lady earlier, but it didn't really dawn. It didn't hit me. Who is that? Is that someone famous? Should we look it up? I feel like I'm just going to get a bunch of Grease clips if I look it up, and then I'm going to start singing Grease songs.
Featuring was Taylor Dane ever in Grease? Was Taylor Dane ever in Chicago? I feel like Taylor Dane was in some musical once.
Pink Lady, Kitten K. Sarah, known as the Pink Lady of Hollywood and Queen of Pink, has been exclusively wearing the rosy hues since 1980. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that. I know this lady. I think she's been on here before. Kitten K. Sarah. Okay, so, that's cute.
Wait, Taylor Dane was in Aida?
That's funny.
Taylor Dane was in Aida, just so you know. That's kind of funny.
I think I saw her. I'm going to look this up. Yeah, I saw Aida, the original. Was she in the original cast? Probably. Original cast. No, I don't think so. Taylor Dane, original cast. But I did see that on Broadway back in the day. I was like, wow, pyramids. Okay, so I think I saw the guy from Rent. He was in it.
Anyway, I just love thinking of Taylor Dane in some sort of Egyptian setting.
Yeah, she was the queen, I guess. She has a good number. It's a good role.
Don't bury me. I made that mistake before. A little Aida humor there. So, now it's time to pack. Everyone's packing for Spain. Everyone's trying on their, you know, like, it's the classic thing of like, oh, if you have a kid nearby, let's have the kid help out. Like in the case of Dorit and Phoenix, you know, usual stuff.
So Sutton's like, don't forget, there's cobblestone streets. Kyle's like, that's not going to stop all of these girls from wearing high heels. Because in this town, Beverly Hills, we wear high. So then we go. So then we start talking about Anne Marie, right?
Well, also, by the way, Kyle, of course, is like, oh, finally, my new shoes. And she opens up her box. Oh, no, these are Morgan's, just adding more fuel to the fire of all those rumors they're asking me about on the red carpets all the time.
I wish people would stop asking me why Morgan's shoes are in my house. Like, seriously, stop staring.
Stop it, everyone. Oh, my God. I just accidentally took a photo of this and posted on Instagram. Oh, my God. My bestie Morgan Wade left her shoes here last night. A hashtag about last night. I wish people would stop with these rumors.
Mm-hmm. So they start talking about Anne Marie, and Kyle's like, well, I haven't spoken to her, but I'll check on her. And so she does. And she's like, oh, my God. The fact that I'm at this point in my life where I have to mediate a fight of an esophagus mediation. I mean, come on. So she feels responsible because she did bring Anne Marie into the group. Okay, so now she's going to fix things. So she does call Anne Marie, and Anne Marie's like, sorry, I have to let it ring 8.5 times before I pick it up. Sorry for the hold. I saw you were there. But.
Yeah, I actually have a really unique phone number. I'm not actually in the 818 area code. I'm in the 8.5 area code.
Which is by the area code. The area code.
That's the Valley, FYI. So Amory's like, okay, well, you know, I've had some time to cool off. And like, I told you, like, that was just like so much for me. And like, I've had like a lot of time to like reflect on it. And I feel ridiculous. I feel horrible, you know, knowing that I let someone think that their tiny esophagus could possibly be genetic when it's obviously, you know, based off of something much more, you know, inflammatory. Anyway, I'll stop. So Kyle's like, she's like, okay, well, listen, for me to say that was a lot, that's saying a lot. So, yeah, you need to fix this.
So how is somebody doubling, tripling, quadrupling down all night long suddenly like, oh, my God, now I feel stupid? I think because someone had an 8.5 conversation with you in the car and they were like, what are you doing? Oh. Having a fit at a charity event with people. Talking about an esophagus. What the fuck are you doing?
No, I think there was a call with Kyle before this that was like, all the women are, I think you're like a little cuckoo right now and you're losing it. You're not winning them over, and I need you to win them over so that way we can all go against Sun. So you need to backpedal a little bit. Like, choose your battles. The big one's still to come.
Oh, okay. So then she's like, yeah, I was just like ridiculous. Like, I don't even know like what I was talking about. Like, it's so stupid. Am I right? And Kyle's like, yeah, I mean, from me saying that's a lot. Like, I'm in shoes that are like a size too big for me. Oh my God, I'm so sorry I said that because they're Morgan shoes. That is so embarrassing. Emery, stop staring at me. Stop it. Stop.
Emery, stop leaking this conversation to TMZ. It's embarrassing. So now we have Erica FaceTiming Crystal, and Erica's like, huh, you called her a bitch, huh? So, and Crystal's like, yeah, look, I know it's rude to call someone a bitch, but she was like calling out Sutton for yelling at her, and like, she's the one that's yelling, and just none of it made sense to me, and it was like driving me crazy.
And Erica says what she says whenever anybody else fights on this show. She goes, well, at least it's not about me. Oh, yeah. So then we go to Garcelle FaceTiming with Sutton. And Garcelle's like, oh, my God, I've officially heard enough about your esophagus. I think she just wants to be right because it's a medical thing. But, oh, God, I mean, why does it have to be your medical thing? Am I right? Jeez.
Yeah, she's like, you know, have a little magic touch and fix things. If, you know, if these ladies can pass these issues, then we can have a lot of fun. Well, so now back to Kyle and Anne Marie, and Kyle's like, so have you talked to Crystal? And Anne Marie's like, I have absolutely no intention of talking to Crystal. She goes, well, how are you going to go to Spain, though? Well, Crystal owes me an apology. She mocked my profession. It's really unfortunate. And I'm a very proud nurse anesthetist, and it's a very difficult position. It's a challenging position. Why would I lie about that? I just have no intention of talking to her the entire time in Spain.
Nobody mocked your profession. Oh, my God. Why does she keep saying that? She accused you of lying about it. She is not mocking nursehood, for crying out loud. So, or the nursing profession. So then Erica's
I like nursehood.
What is it?
I like nursehood.
Is nurse a word? I was like, oh
no,
God.
But I like it. It's kind of like an era in life. It's like boyhood, childhood, nursehood.
I'm going through my nurse, or where the nurse, or where nurses live. It's like, hey, just I was just in the nursehood, just checking, just stopping by to check everyone's temperature, make sure we're all doing okay. So then we go to Erica, and she's like, "I'll be the rev. I'll have a whistle." I was like, "Oh my God, can you?" That's probably off key too. Let's be honest. Erica with a whistle. It probably just sounds like this.
Hello.
Okay, so then Anne-Marie and Kyle, I mean, they're just talking like, are they going to make up? Are they not? Who's going to apologize, Crystal or Anne-Marie? So Anne-Marie's like, oh my God, I just need to talk to Sutton, not Crystal. But you know me, like I want to like be happy and positive. I'm like super looking forward to it. God, I hope there's someone on the plane that'll talk to me about esophaguses. Like,
So Anne-Marie FaceTimes Sutton. And she's like, hi, Sutton, I am coming to you. It sounds like I'm eating, actually. You'll notice, by the way, my throat moves in very small ways on behalf of my narrow esophagus. Emery's like, I'm coming to you with my heart in my hands. And I just wanted to tell you that I'm sorry for my part in everything that happened, for your tiny, unexplained esophagus that's not related to anything deeper or darker than that.
No, sorry for your apologize. Part. What about the whole part? Mm-mm. No, ma'am. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. No, ma'am. Mm-mm. No, ma'am. No. Mm-mm.
Okay, take two. Mm-mm. I'm sorry that I pried into something much the way they have to pry into your throat to open your esophagus. Mm-mm. I should not have done
Mm-mm.
that.
Mm-mm.
Okay. No, ma'am. Well, I'm sorry. No, okay. Ma'am. Hi, this is Anne-Marie. I'm sorry that I upset you by talking about your esophagus and saying that you're a terrible person and a vicious liar. And why are you even on this show in the first place? Is that a good one?
Okay. Well, listen, you're not off the hook, but I do want you to come to Spain. Okay. Cause I'm looking forward to working all of this out with you. Okay. We're going to, you know, I just want you to chew on it, if you will. Oh, sorry. It's a bad pun. I just was thinking of that because that's what I have to do to my food quite a bit. Well, as you pointed out.
Yes, well, you know, I'm sorry it took me so long to apologize, but just like you with the Tate's cookie, it's hard for me to swallow my pride.
So it's like, come on, son. Like, I, like, licked your armpit. Like, how many friends can say that? We're armpit buddies. So she tells us, I'm embarrassed by my behavior. You know what? I'm just going to move forward and keep it copacetic. Okay. So they decide they're going to be friends for this trip. And then it's like, 24 hours later, dun, 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 dun. And they go to Spain.
And this is the big fight that I think we saw in the trailers that I've been waiting for all season, which is Crystal and Anne-Marie fighting, and Anne-Marie being like, well, by the way, Crystal, you're welcome, because if it weren't for me, you would have nothing to be relevant about, or whatever she says. So, Crystal's getting the mix. It's finally happening. Late bloomer for the season.
So, Crystal has usually, like, a moment of season where she, like, gets into it, and then she just goes and relaxes, you know?
I know. It's usually I feel like she's usually an early season bloomer. She usually has, like, in the first, like, 4 or 5 weeks, she usually has some sort of situation, and then she's, like, once bitten, twice shy, and she sort of, like, recedes for the rest of the season. But now she's actually doing a late season turn, which is smart, because everyone remembers, you know, you go to a good meal, everyone remembers the dessert. They don't remember the appetizer.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for being here with us. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find tickets for the Crappies. Watch us on video on Crappens on Demand. Hi. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches.
bitches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh. She's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly. It's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee. It's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch. It's Victoria Cotchett.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Happens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.